In Ukraine, an Independence Day darkened by 6 months of war. Live from London, this is the Marketplace Morning Report from the BBC World Service. I'm Victoria Craig. Good morning. Russia's war in neighboring Ukraine has ravaged what was once Europe's breadbasket and caused widespread economic pain the world over. Speaking on the 31st anniversary of the nation's independence from the Soviet Union, Ukraine's President Volodymyr Zelensky said his country will fight Russia's invasion until the end with no concessions or compromise. But war is expensive, and Ukraine's prime minister says he'll be asking donors for another $12 to $16 billion by the end of this year. The U.S., which has already sent $10 billion to Ukraine, is expected to announce another $3 billion package today, its biggest ever. It's not just Ukraine's allies, though, coming to its aid. Charities of all shapes and sizes have been doing what they can on the ground. In the early days, donations came fast and furiously. Now, though, the giving has slowed. So fundraisers have changed their messages from ones tinged with tragedy to ones heralding hope. When the war began, it shocked London-based Ukrainian chef and cookbook author Olia Hercules.
Thank you so much. That's
She stowed her spatulas, knives, chopping boards, and pans, and focused on raising money to send protective gear to her brother, who is still fighting on the front lines. But now...
Today I'm going to show you how to make a Balkan-inspired vegetable bake, and it contains all of my favorite ingredients.
That has all changed.
I am cooking again. Yeah, it came back. It came back, actually, when my parents left Kakhovka.
Though she's focused on cooking again, Olia hasn't lost her passionate fundraising efforts directed at helping those still left in her southern Ukrainian hometown, which is now under Russian control. So she's married the two.
So I launched a Patreon subscription service.
Hello and welcome to The Food That Makes Us, recipes to comfort and connect us with me.
Where I share Ukrainian cookery videos and live sessions and workshops, etc. And the money that I make through it, and I almost have 500 subscribers, and I use that money to wire to the Kherson region, specifically to the 22 families that used to work for my mom and dad.
She said she raises about $6,500 every month through the fundraising platform. But 6 months into the war, fatigue isn't just a problem fundraisers like Olia have faced. It's a problem for donors, too. So some charities are turning to new strategies.
Hello, world. This is Ukraine speaking. We know there's war all over your news feeds, and everyone's asking you to save Ukraine, but we won't.
This ad is by Ukraine-based charity Aid Legion.
Finish your coffee.
Its co-founder, Anna Goncharova, said the point is to rally people in an uplifting, impassioned way.
We felt like we have to shake people's feelings up a little bit. There was a lot of communication from charities asking for help, showing tragic pictures, which is right, but which stopped working.
She said they've raised $145,000 for things like military-grade protective gear and to help rebuild a destroyed school. But trying to keep the world interested is a tiring task, as Chef Olia Hercules explains.
You know, before it used to be a work and life balance, and now it's a work and war and life balance.
Though she tries to rest, Olia says she just can't sit still and, in fact, has just released her fourth cookbook called Home Food because she says as fundraising continues, in times of crisis, she believes we all have something in common, food and the need for comfort. Central banks are stealing the financial market spotlight this week as we check the numbers now. European stock benchmarks are on their back foot today, down in the 0.1% to 0.3% range. Investors are looking ahead to ECB minutes, which are expected to illustrate how concerned policymakers are about the rising cost of living across the 19-country eurozone. In the U.S., focus is on tomorrow's start of the annual Jackson Hole Symposium. Minneapolis Fed President Neel Kashkari said yesterday the U.S. central bank's number one priority is reining in inflation. And that is one of the biggest problems facing households, not just in the U.S., but all across the world. Today, South Africans are taking to the street to protest against soaring food and fuel prices there and ongoing power cuts. The BBC's Lebo Diseko is in Pretoria, a city home to the government's executive branch and where the nation's two biggest unions are staging a national strike.
They've got a long list of demands, among them government caps on petrol, diesel, paraffin, basically fuel, drops in interest rates. They want an end to wage cuts and below inflation wage increases. There is an acknowledgement that they may not get all of this straight away, or that the government may not. Some of it is not even in the government's gift. Some of this they want from the private sector. They are huge in terms of membership, but they themselves have acknowledged that they may not get the numbers out on the streets today that they have in previous years when they've called shutdowns. Now, the unions are saying that's because the trains aren't working and that has a massive impact. However, the taxi drivers union is not part of this strike. This is one of the major forms of transport for people that are poor. And also, you know, government workers, essential workers are not allowed to take part. And there is a no work, no pay principle that applies here. So you have to wonder whether, given the economy that they're protesting against, ordinary people will be able to afford to take that risk.
That's the BBC's Lebo Diseko in South Africa there. Finally, a huge thank you and goodbye today to our senior producer, Jonathan Fruin. He's leaving the BBC Business Unit after 20 years, eight of those with us here on the Marketplace team. Jonathan was instrumental in launching this show 5 years ago, and he's taken charge of editing our newest edition in Singapore. He's taking on a new role at the BBC, where you might even catch him alongside Morning Edition in the next few weeks. Thank you, Jonathan, for all of your hard work and your friendship. We will miss you here. In London, I'm Victoria Craig with the Marketplace Morning Report from the BBC World Service.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.